We are wrapping up this series on the book of Ephesians, and this portion of scripture that we just read is entitled, is talked about as the armor of God passage, right? It talks about the armor of God. And this is not just a PS. This isn't like a button on the end of it, a nice little, oh, and one last thing. That's not what this is. Ephesians chapter 6, especially from verse 10 on, is the culmination, actually, of everything that Paul's been talking about in Ephesians. You came at the grand finale, the crescendo of this book and in this series. First thing we have to acknowledge is this is some really spiritual stuff. How many spiritual people do we have in the house? Well, whether or not you realize it or raise your hand or not, you have to know that you are actually more than flesh and blood, that actually we are spiritual first. We have to talk about the fact that the gospel, yes, it changes us on the inside. Can I get an amen? It changes like our heart. It changes like our head. It changes those like kind of natural but like internal things. And if we just talked exclusively about like God can bring like a niceness, a feel good on the inside, I actually think that the modern world can get behind that kind of a gospel. A lot of people, tons of people, are spiritual. Amen. In this day and age, there's a lot of spiritual people. They're just like, you know, what kind of crystals do you have? They talk about what color your aura is. Amen. What color aura are you had? Someone tried to tell me what color my aura was, and I didn't want to go there. So there's a lot of spiritual people. And people in our modern day have no problem saying, I want an inward strength. I want a peace. I want a tranquility so that I can reach my goals. And Christianity includes an inward transformation, a change in your motivation, your desires, and your wants. But it was never meant to end with just a personal inward transformation. We were always called, as the people of God, to take this power that transforms us on the inside, that brings us life, and use that power to bring hope, to bring truth, to bring victory and life to the world around us in the seen and in the unseen. Now, this spiritual side of life, this unseen part of life, is a side of life that we don't talk about a lot, even in church. But I'm here to remind us that life and the totality of life is more than just what you see in the natural. That actually there are spiritual forces, and Paul has been talking about through this book of Ephesians. These spiritual forces, they are actually of the unseen, of the spiritual realm. Some of it's good, a lot of it's bad, that actually is trying to come against us. There are spiritual forces that are trying to slow down the people of God. There are spiritual forces that are trying to discourage you, that are trying to attack you, that are trying to put a wedge in your marriage. That are trying to attack the unity of your family, that are trying to get in and even divide the people of God and the church of God. These are spiritual forces, amen. And it's more than just, I'm having a bad day. I had a bad argument. I'm just not feeling myself. But there are actually spiritual forces that aim to oppress us and oppose us. So the big question, like, that you have to reconcile as we wrap up the book of Ephesians is, do you believe any of this stuff? Do we affirm this reality or do we ignore this reality? Because our modern mindset wants to attribute everything to some natural reasoning, something that we can see. Because truth is, life is hard enough with just the stuff that we can see. I think that's why so many of us are like, hey, listen, I got enough on my plate with just the stuff I can see. I'd rather not have to worry about the unseen stuff. Amen. It's okay. Can we talk? But here's the good news this morning. God wants you to be strengthened. Come on, somebody. God wants you to be strengthened. We're going to go through this passage, and verse 10 starts with saying, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. This word power, the original word for this is dunamis, which is the same word that we have for the power of the Holy Spirit. And you look, this word, dunamis, it is throughout the New Testament. And when you look at all the examples of like, when was this word used in the scripture? It was the same word used when Jesus healed people. It was the same word when Jesus set them free from oppression, or as we talked about today, broke chains off of people. Dunamis, power. It's the same word used when Jesus performed miracles, power. It's the same word used for the coming of the Holy Spirit, and this power, this dunamis, kind of sounds like dynamite, amen? It's this word, this power that is available to every believer that has been filled with the Spirit. The Bible talks a lot about God wanting to strengthen us. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 says that he gives power to the weak. He gives strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, especially after summer camp, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord, come on, young people, just trust in the Lord and you will find new strength. You will soar high on wings like eagles. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. Colossians 1:11 says, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all of his glorious power so that you have all the endurance and patience that you need. 1 Corinthians 4:20, Paul says, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. Come on, the Christian life is a power-infused life. The Christian life is a strengthened life. The Christian life is an overcoming life. The Christian life is not a fall down. The Christian life is, though I fall down six times by his righteous power, I will get up on the seventh and I will stand. Come on, somebody. Ephesians 6:10, back to it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. How many would agree God wants to, through his word, say, you know, God wants you to be strengthened. Who would agree with that? Amen? Then why does it seem as though so many Christians are living powerless? Let's talk about it. Let's keep reading. How are we called to be strong? The next point I have is we are called to be strengthened with the strength of another. We're actually strengthened, not of our own strength, but we are strengthened by God's strength. We are strengthened by the strength of another. If someone tells you to go get strong, the first thing that you probably think of is, well, let me go to the gym and start to get bigger, put up some weights. Amen. That's the first thing we think. I'm going to go get myself strong. But that's not what Paul is encouraging us to do in the scripture. Ephesians 6:10 shows us that the miracle is of being empowered by another. Amen. I think back when we were promoting our men's retreat on Instagram, our social media team had a great idea for social media, and they had me put up, I think it looked like I was putting up two plates. What is that, 225? Of course I know. I put it up regularly. And they had it, I don't know if you guys saw this, but they had me there putting up, and the middle of the video starts out, and it's like me saying, 48, 49, 50, woo, put it up there. And then I lean back up and start talking about, hey, men, you need to come to our men's retreat. This was a couple months ago. But the bar kept going up behind me. And you very quickly realize, oh, this dude was not putting up the weight on his own. I was blessed because I had two very strong men on each side, one on each side, helping me to lift the weight. Amen. We're not called to be strong in our own strength. The strength that we are called to walk in and to stand in is God's strength and God's power. Verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God. So actually, whose armor is this? It is God's armor. It is from God. It's provided by God. And unlike when David tried to put on another man's armor, he tried to put it on, it did not fit. Look, how many people would know? If we tried to fashion our own armor, that armor might look a little jacked up. But God says, hey, I have fitted you. I have equipped you. I have provided for you the perfect fitting armor that is going to allow you to walk in strength, to stand and not waver. Amen. And so this strength is not just about biceps. Come on, Will. It's not just about that kind of strength. It's actually you are being strengthened to be able to stand. Strengthened to stand. Verse 13, he says, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. In crisis, when it comes, because if you haven't experienced it yet, can I tell you, there will be a day for all of us, where crisis will come. When persecution comes, when opposition comes, dare I say, when demonic oppression comes at you and your family, what will be your posture? Will you stumble? Will you succumb? Or will you stand? There is a tendency, there is a bait, there is a temptation, if you will, for when normal people, when they face these things, that they disappear. They abandon their families in opposition. And women, I want to tell you, like, I believe this is a specific thing. Wives, be praying for your husbands. Because there is a devil out there that is trying to tempt your husband and the father of the family, bait him to want to abandon his family in times of opposition and of challenge. But Paul is showing us here that the kind of power that we're talking about, that he's saying God has ready for you, is the kind of power that's going to empower you, that when challenge comes, when difficulty comes, when ends do not meet, when you're looking at these financial difficulties, when it feels like, man, the family's being torn apart, when it looks like stuff's not working in your career, business, or job, or whatever, there is a power that's going to enable you to stand. Amen? That's what kind of power we're talking about here. It's a power, it's a strength to enable you to stand. Furthermore, it's a strengthening for battle. It's a strengthening for battle. If we are called to put on armor, that tells me we are being prepared for combat. God did not fit us and prepare for us armor just to put on a pageant. Amen. God has prepared for us armor, which tells me we are a people who are being prepared for combat. Now, I know, that is not everybody's favorite topic in here. Yet it's the truth. We're being fitted for combat, not fitted for a game. We're being fitted for a war. We're not being made strong just to make more money, to be made more successful. We are being fitted so that we would stand victorious in spiritual battle. Like, we are called an army of God in the Bible. I love saying this. As a part of the church, you are not becoming a part of a cruise ship. Well, man, these facilities need to get better. Like, man, these seats got to get more comfortable. Which, praise the Lord, honestly, I've been saying that. Right? We want amenities. Like, how are things going to get better around here? Like, everything needs to get sharper. Like, we need to make things more excellent. And I believe in excellence, amen? Like, I'm all for that. But, like, the core of who we are as the people of God is understanding, like, we're not here just to get amenities from church. We are here because we are a part of a battleship heading into war. Amen. To stand victorious in spiritual battle. What kind of battle? Okay, let's talk. Verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood. Okay, how is it not against flesh and blood, Paul? Paul, you are writing this letter from prison. I'm pretty sure you have been battling some natural people problems. Amen. And how are you going to write this like that? Well, Paul is not saying that we don't wrestle with evil in the form of flesh and blood. Again, Paul was in prison. He encountered demoniacs. But he is saying that we wrestle, ultimately, that which is behind what we do see. The thing that we're wrestling with is not the first thing that you see. It's the thing behind the thing that you see, which is the unseen. Amen. It's not the man. It's the spirit behind the man. So Ephesians 4, we're going to pull up some verses, amen, because we get it twisted. I think sometimes we misunderstand the battles that we're supposed to fight. And sometimes we think our battle is against a politician. Sometimes we think our battle is against a neighbor. Sometimes we think a battle is a person. But that's not our battle. Our battle is the thing behind those things. Let's talk. Let's pick out some other verses that support what I'm talking about. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Here's a little bit of scripture. It says, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, right? What my job is to equip you for works of service. If you ever wonder, what's this guy's job anyway? My job is to equip you for works of service unto the Lord. All right, it says, so that the body of Christ may be built up. We're trying to build this body, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm trying to build this body. That was just for the married people, my bad. So, the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Keep going, verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. So what is he saying? He's saying that, yeah, there is some deceitful scheming. There is some evil that are at the hands of people. Do you hear that? Okay, let's keep going. Ephesians chapter 2, it says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Another translation says, in the prince of the ruler of the air and of the sons of disobedience. It says, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. So here's what Paul's trying to reinforce that he concludes in chapter 6. There are real people who are succumbed to the flesh. There are real people who are of flesh and blood, rather, who can harm and disrupt the church and God's people and your purposes. That is real. But when those things are happening, it's not just the person, it's not just the flesh and blood, but in amongst those things, there is a satanic element behind it. So I'm not tripped up or caught up by the person. I see the spirit of the prince of the air behind the person, which helps me to have grace for the person, which helps me to have empathy for the person, and yet emboldens me to put on my armor, to wage into battle, to be saying, I'm not fighting this person. I'm fighting the prince of the air behind this person, the spirit of the ruler behind this person. Amen. So it does not mean that you're not going to face natural opposition. It just means that the real battle is against the devil and spiritual forces. You hear me? I've shared it before. I don't have time to go into it now. I know what it is to be face to face with supernatural spiritual opposition, demonic forces. Amen? And if somebody were to come up here, amen, if someone were to come up here and manifest, if you will, welcome new people. What a great Sunday to be in the house of the Lord. You know what, Jim? I am going to try this church out. You've been speaking so positively about it. I'm going to come this Sunday, and I hope it's a good day in your church. So Jim's just like, I'm sorry, man. I know he's going to get all demonic today. Like, you know, that's what the topic was. My bad. That's a good impression. I don't know whose impression of, but we actually have a couple gyms. I was not doing an impression of any gym in the room. Okay. If a guy were to walk up here and try to disrupt what was happening here, summer camp, you would never know what this is about. You've never experienced any of this. Haha, LOL. He'd walk up here and try to disrupt. What I would not do is bless this man with a brick. What I would not do would be like, yeah, who, sorry, you can, that's not what I would do. Okay? What I would do is stand. And what I would do, as I'm getting ahead of myself, I'd speak truth, and I would pray, and I would gently, but with strength, right? Declare righteousness and speak about a name that is higher than any other name. And under that name, you must bow down and you must stand down. Because in the name of Jesus, I will stand up. You will stand down. You hear me? Okay, I don't know who that's for. Praise the Lord. Verse 12, second part. What did the first part say? He said, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Second part, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers. It's not just the authorities, by the way. Let me just make sure we're not twisted about that. My battle's against the authorities. No. The authorities of and the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Okay. One of the ways that you will come to know the fullness of what Paul is talking about in one area, or any writer in the scriptures, is to find other examples in your Bible of where the writer uses similar words and language in almost the exact same way. So let's go to other parts of the scripture where Paul talks about these rulers and authorities, okay? And understand, maybe we'll start to understand, right, the realities of some of these things then, okay? So what do we know about these words? Here's where they're used together in other parts of scripture. Colossians 1, verse 16. It says, talking about Jesus, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. So Paul used the exact same phrase. He says, all things have been created through him and for him. What does that mean? Any sort of demonic activity, guess what? They did not exist before Jesus. Christ was there first. You understand? Okay. There's a little thing in the Bible, a little bit, doesn't talk about it too extensively for whatever reason, but there was a fall of angels, and they are enemies of God now. But guess what? Jesus was before them. Got it? Jesus was not created one. Jesus, through him, everything else is created. You hear me? Okay, Colossians 2, verse 14. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And listen, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Another translation says he put them to open shame. So they are really adversaries that are no real danger because they have been disarmed. They have no accusation against us. How are they disarmed? Their power to accuse us has been disarmed. They are a decisively defeated foe, and as the people of God, we don't have to tremble at evil forces. You hear me? Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. I know this is a lot. And this water symbolizes baptism, like we just did today, that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen, who has gone into heaven is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. What does that tell us? Jesus has authority over all those powers. Who has authority? Jesus does. Okay, let's keep going. Ephesians chapter 1 says, Jesus, when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked. The whole invoking of other names is on the rise, by the way. I ain't got time for it. Not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. So we don't have to worry about it. Jesus has all authority. Jesus is far above it. And his power will rule and reign not just in our present age, but in the age to come. Okay, last one, Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. they do not threaten Christ. So when we talk about this spiritual battle, we have this undergirding with all the times that Paul has used these exact same words to understand that Jesus is above all that. He is actually over all those things. He has the authority over all these powers. Which may lead you to be like, so then why do I have to fight? Right? It's almost like, what? Well then, why do I gotta fight? You need to have an understanding. Let's talk about salvation really quick, okay? In our salvation, okay, you have been saved. But the Bible also talks about you are being saved. And guess what? There is a future where we will all be saved. Do you understand? God exists outside of time. Okay, let's talk about this. The devil has been defeated. The devil is being defeated as we wage war. And there will come a day where the devil will be defeated ultimately. Okay, so if you're like, all right, God, if you've got this power and you've got this strength and you have these authority over all these principalities, like anybody kind of just like, well, then God, why don't you fight the battle? Why do I need to fight? It sounds like you've already done it. I'm just using logic here. Okay. This is why this chapter is the culmination of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, I want to take you back to this. I read it a few weeks ago. Verse 8, though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. Verse 10, God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Why does God want you strengthened? Number one, because these forces will be defeated. And two, God has chosen us to be God's tool to defeat the enemy. And God has used us, his church, as the glorifying example, model, spectacle to demonstrate his wisdom of his plan. So this is wild. The reason why we are called into battle and strengthened for battle is to glorify the wisdom of God. The reason why we are strengthened and called to battle is so that God can look and point to us as his people and said, look, I have strengthened them, and my people will stand, and they will be equipped, and they will not fall. They will stand. Devil, you can throw everything that you can at them. But just like he talks about in Job, which is a foreshadowing of this whole reality in and of itself, is that they are going to stand against you, devil. And they will not fall. They will strengthen. This is the culmination of all of Ephesians. This is the whole reason why we have to walk in unity. Because we're called to fight together. This is the culmination of the fact that, like, it is all about the church. Why? Because we are the eternal people. All of Ephesians is here to show us that you're called to walk in strength because you're called for a battle. Why? Because my ultimate mysterious plan is to put shame to the devil and the works of evil through my people. Wow. Wow. My entire purpose just got elevated in studying this book. My entire reason for living has been elevated through this book. It's not about me. I am a part of the army of God, who needs to be equipped, because we are in a battle. I don't know how I'm going to finish this sermon, guys. I'm way out of time. Let me read verse 13. How about I just fly through the rest and pray for people? Does that sound good? Okay. If we take up an offering and get $40,000 right now, I will stop preaching. Yeah, Joe, you got some money? Okay, praise the Lord. Joe Monaco told me that right before service. Thank you, Elder Joe. Verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. He's flowing. And with your feet fitted, with the readiness for the gospel of peace. In attention to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to encourage you, listen to one of our other campuses' sermons later on today or this week. Because all of my other friends, all of our other campus pastors are preaching just in this passage, and I don't have time to do it. If I were to fly through it, I will say this. Verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. He's a schemer, y'all. And if you look at each one of these pieces of armor, they all relate to a nature or intent of the devil. So put on the belt of truth. Why? Because the enemy tempts you with lies. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Why? Because the devil wants to accuse you when you make a mistake. He wants to accuse you. You're not righteous. You're a sinner. Who do you think you are trying to be in the army of God? What are you talking about? You remember how you messed up last weekend? That's his nature. So he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness, reminding you, you are not righteous in your own strength. You've been made righteous through his strength. Okay, put on the feet of readiness and the gospel of peace. The devil wants you anxious and unsettled and also quiet in your faith, which is why the feet of the readiness of the gospel are like spikes which hold us firm to the ground and also help us to run with the gospel. The shield of faith, the devil wants your trust in God attacked. He's throwing arrows to attack your faith, which is why you must hold up the shield of faith to understand I'm not just by what I see. My faith is in the unseen. Amen. Helmet of salvation. The devil wants to strike a death blow to you and attack your thinking. The sword of the Spirit. The devil wants you defenseless and destroyed. And lastly, which I would say is not a separate part, when I'm going to close with this last point. It's not a separate thing, I wouldn't say. And it comes in verse 19. I believe this is a continuation of putting on all of God and walking in strength. Verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. All kinds of prayers, what does that mean? More than one kind of prayer. That's what all kinds of prayers means. On all kinds of prayers and requests, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. As we've been talking about the book of Ephesians, time and time again, we see Father, we see Son, and we see Holy Spirit. We see Father, we see Son, we see Holy Spirit. We see adoption by the Father, redemption by the Son, and the blessing, gift, and strengthening of the Holy Spirit. You cannot talk being strengthened in God as a believer without talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul says, pray in the Spirit. I heard someone a long time ago, we do a leaders meeting at like 9 o'clock. This is not when we do it, 9 o'clock? 9 o'clock. And we gather up with all of our leaders and we pray for what God's going to do today. And a lot of times, a lot of people were praying in the Spirit. Like Will was talking about, being able to pray with your heavenly prayer language. And we stir ourselves up, we get passionate. And I heard someone a long time ago be like, Pastor, like, why do we kind of pray a certain way in that leaders meeting? It kind of seems like it's just a contest to see who can pray the best. It kind of feels like it's like a contest, see who can like pray the strongest or like the more like most passionate or whatever. Why don't you just talk to the Father? Isn't that what prayer is like? Just talking to the Father? And I thought about that, and I was able to think about it, and I am a dad, and I was just thinking about all the different types of conversations that I have with my children. Like, I have so many different types of conversations with my kids. My kids are in swim, and
It's fun. It's awesome. And what I love about it is that you get to cheer on your kids. And what I love about it is I'm the loudest dad who cheers during swim. My kids are like 9, 7, 5. It's obnoxious how loud I scream for my kids. It's funny, like this past week we were at a meet and like I was running. Megan was like, Monroe's over there. Lane 6, get over there. Like she's about to hop in. So I run over there and she hops in and I'm like getting everybody out of the well. We're out of my way and I'm yelling. I'm like, Monroe, go, Monroe, go. Go, Monroe, go. Go, Monroe, go. And I notice everybody around me is like getting really quiet. Right, and they're like, what is, and I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, yo, I'm just cheering for my kid, like, get off my back, like, she's gonna be an Olympic swimmer one day, like, get off my back, and I'm yelling, like, go, Monroe, go, 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 and then her coach walks up to me, and she's like, that's not Monroe, Monroe's, like, two heats away, and I realized I had cut off her entire family, who was there actually trying to watch their daughter swim. Yeah, I'm that guy. But sometimes our conversation is for sure, like, sit on my lap, let's talk, I want to whisper to you, I want to speak to you. But sometimes our talk is, you got it, let's go, you gonna get this, come on, we're in a battle, come on, I'm pivoting, there's a war, we got to be strengthened up, we got to stir up our faith. And so when he says in the passage talking about battling, he says, pray in the Spirit at all times. If you're going to be in the battle, you need to be able to know what it is to pray in the Spirit. Jude 20 says, but you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1, this is why I remind you to fan the flames, the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you, talking about when he laid his hands on people. Let me turn you to the book of Acts chapter 8, because my last point is this, guys. You're going to have to listen to one of our other campuses preach about actually the armor of God on one of our other Facebooks or podcasts or app, because your pastor actually didn't do it today. Praise the Lord. But I will say this, put on the armor of God, which includes get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, what are we talking about? This strengthening that is available for every believer. Acts 8, 15, as soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Worship team, come on up. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers. What? And they received the Holy Spirit. Furthermore, in Acts chapter 19, it says Apollos was in Corinth. Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. And he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? What does this show me? That there's a subsequent opportunity for prayer. And they said, no. We haven't even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. Some of you maybe say, I didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism did you experience, he said. They replied, the baptism of John. Well, Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. And as soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then, when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in other tongues, and they prophesied.